Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome to Overnight America, the last show of the week. This is going to be a big one. Thank you for joining us this week during the All-Star break. I know there hasn't been a Cardinals game. Their first one back is tomorrow night, so we'll have fun with it. And we've been able to take advantage of all the extra time here on Overnight America. Michael Calhoun, I wanted you to stick around for a moment because I have a question for you. Have you ever done a news story, and part of the news story you mention a person, and then as soon as you're done with the story, you walk back to your desk, the phone rings, and it's that person? Has that ever happened to you?
That specific person, I'm trying to think if that specific person is called with, people have called to say, hey, can I restate that? Or can I give you a little bit more information? Or, that wording wasn't exactly what I would describe it as, or feedback like that. Is that what you're asking about?
They're looking for something a little more flattering when it comes to the reporting.
Trying to fluff it a little bit. Yeah,
maybe, but they want to make sure it's accurate. So for them, someone that's really knee deep into whatever they're doing, they'll say, that's technically not true. So they want to set the record straight, which you could appreciate. Something like that happened to me, and I wanted to share this with you. So last night, there was another story about the women's soccer team, and you hear a lot about the lawsuit, what's going to happen when it comes to equal pay. A lot of people are talking about it. The ticker tape parade came through, and there was more interviews on television. And there was a clip in Mark Reardon's folder from Bob Costas. It didn't say what agency or news organization or television show he was talking to. But I played the clip, and I had some reaction to it because I didn't quite agree with what he was saying. So I do the segment last night, wake up, and then start working on the house because I've been, since the wife and kid are out of town, I've been working on the house. And then I see that my phone's ringing, private number, didn't answer it. Listen to the voicemail after. It was Bob Costas.
What?
Bob Costas, and he left a voicemail, and he sounded very annoyed. It didn't sound like he was too happy with me based on some of the reaction I had. So I was impressed that, number one, he would even care what the late night guy thinks about something he said. But number two, he would take the extra effort to want to reach out to me. And of course, with his connection to KMOX, it makes sense. He has a great love for this radio station. So when I drove into the radio station earlier today to record with some business clients, I had about a half hour conversation with him.
Oh, wow.
We talked about the comments. And a lot of times this happens when you get a quick clip. Sometimes things are taken out of context. You might not understand the true motivations of what was being said. And he's offered to come on the show tonight. And he said he wanted to, I guess, set the record straight. He says, I'm misrepresenting the things that he meant in what he said. And I'm misunderstanding the situation. And he wanted to have that discussion tonight. How great is that?
So you talked for a half an hour
about
the topic already. You kind of had a little bit of a debate or understanding each other a little bit more.
Well, I felt like, I want to call it a debate. I felt like, the kid going through puberty, because he would make a point and it would just sound so elegant and so well said. And then I would say something like, well, Mr. Costas, I was so nervous talking to him. He's one of the most respected sports people in the country. And I don't know why I was so nervous. So we had a good conversation. I asked him a couple of different questions. And I think the impression that most people have about this case may be taken away by the media in the wrong direction. So I wanted to talk to him about that, and he's going to come on right after the break.
Oh, that's so cool.
Isn't that cool?
And with him, I always loved hearing the stories from the Bill Reekers, the Bob Hamiltons around here about, the good old days at KMOX. Yep. And Bob Costas here, just beginning his career. And, news guy makes a flippant comment about, well, you're just a sports announcer. You don't know. You don't cover. We're covering politics and courts, and you're just the sports guy. And the way they tell the story, he flipped around, he spun around and started asking about the GDP and the geopolitical status of all of these countries in Eastern Europe. And they were just dumbfounded. And as he went on to this big,
yeah. Isn't Isn't that crazy?
So he's not just a sports guy.
I'm excited. So everyone, if you're listening, you have to stick around. Bob Costas, our very special guest, will be up next on Overnight America KMOX. We now have a very special guest that is joining us tonight live. It's someone that you're very familiar with. If you're a longtime KMOX listener, you remember him from, way back in the day. Made a wonderful career for himself, one of the greatest sports broadcasters this industry has ever seen. Bob Costas. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Ryan. How are you?
Good. I wanted to mention a few things before we get started. I was bragging to people that you actually gave me a call earlier, even if you were a little upset with some of the things I said. So I think it's awesome that you wanted to come on and talk about this topic with the women's soccer team. There was one quote I wanted to read to you. It was from Kevin Colleen here. He said, "You need to start misrepresenting people more often. You'll get better guests." So hopefully I don't make a habit of it. But it worked out tonight. So thank you so much for coming on.
Well, of course. A couple of things here. One, you cannot possibly, if you're a public figure of any kind in modern America, with social media, with talk radio, with Twitter and everything else, you can't possibly correct every misrepresentation. No matter how careful you are, no matter how reasonable, no matter how well you may have expressed yourself, especially if your viewpoint is somewhat nuanced, then people on either side of any argument will tease out whatever part they want to make their argument based on without giving you the context that you originally provided. If you tried to correct every misimpression, it'd be like swatting at locusts. It's just not possible.
Right.
But in this case, St. Louis is my hometown. I've always said that. I consider it to be my hometown. KMOX has a place in my heart. When I'm in town, very often I go on with Charlie Brennan. And these days it's easy to follow, even if you're not in St. Louis, it's easy to follow much of what's on KMOX. And as it happened, I heard about what you said on your program last night, so it was easy for me to check it out this morning. I just Googled it, and in 2 seconds, there it was, and I heard it. And you made a number of good arguments, but none of them pertained to the point that I had made.
Right.
So that was where the misrepresentation came in.
Yeah, and we should probably talk about those. So if you want to bring up the original point that was made, and then we can talk about that. And basically, the point I was taking yesterday was, and I might have used the word league a little generously in trying to explain some of the different things that the teams play in. You know, they're not always playing in the same spot. So yeah, I try to differentiate maybe some of the league play here in the United States versus what was going on internationally for FIFA. But the argument you were making was that the women's team in the fair pay is an absolute valid argument in the lawsuit that is being brought up against the U.S. Soccer Federation. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's a little bit complicated, and we can't get into all the particulars. I've actually had to educate myself in the last couple of weeks about it because the pay is not on a one-for-one basis. For example, members of the women's team get a base salary of $100,000, and then there are bonuses based on performance and the number of games and other things, whereas the men do not receive a base salary. They receive bonus money, but that bonus money is generally larger. And so it's difficult. If they're going to correct it, they've got to go back and take a look at how all the different revenue sources are accounted for and then distributed. But the reason I think that it's a very valid argument that the women should receive equal pay with the men is not some political argument. It's not a matter of political correctness, although I think most enlightened people have long since agreed that women should receive the same pay for equal pay for equal work, allowing, of course, for differing circumstances. There are sometimes differences of circumstance with seniority and other things. We don't have to get into all of that. But as a general principle, equal pay for equal work is an American principle. But as you said, and as I myself have said many times, no one thinks that a star player in the WNBA should receive anything like the 12th guy at the end of the bench on an NBA team. Nobody thinks that. But when you're talking about the U.S. Soccer Federation, which receives federal funds, it's a nonprofit that receives federal funds, when competing in the World Cup, then in that instance, we're not talking about professional soccer. We're not talking about their leagues, where no matter how celebrated the women are, as of yet, their leagues don't generate the same amount of money. They don't generate the same attendance as the men's leagues in the United States. So nobody thinks that the compensation for that should be the same. But when you're competing under the banner of the United States for the World Cup, then they should be on equal footing, not just in terms of compensation, but in terms of how they travel. The men travel by charter. Mm-hmm. The women travel commercially. Practice fields, women have to practice more often on artificial surface than men do. An artificial surface is tough on the body. It's not a preferred situation. The amount of money that's put into training and other aspects of being a professional soccer player is not equal. And so that would be objectionable even if the performance of the two teams were equal. Right. But on a world stage, it's not even close. The women's teams have won Olympic gold medals. They've won 4 World Cups. The men often don't even qualify. They seldom get deep into the tournament. They've never won an Olympic gold medal. And when you talk about the revenues for the U.S. Soccer Federation, they come from a variety of sources. Gate receipts are not the only source. Mm-hmm. Marketing, sponsorships, television revenues, and in every case now, in the last several years, the women actually dwarf the men in terms of those revenues. So we're talking about only that situation. We're not talking about a WNBA-NBA comparison. We're not talking about everything always has to be equal. For example, generally speaking, I'm not an expert on this, but female models in the modeling industry generally make more money than male models do. Mm-hmm. By the same token, at the Olympics, no one thinks that if you had female sprinters compete with male sprinters, mm-hmm. that it would be an equal outcome. Mm-hmm. However, you win a gold medal for the United States in the women's 100 meters, mm-hmm. you're the same level Olympian as someone who does the same on the male side. Mm-hmm. But we can all recognize that in the Olympics, women's figure skating is much more popular than men's, and women's gymnastics is much more popular mm-hmm. than men's. So there are differing circumstances, and this narrow circumstance where you're talking about the U.S. Soccer Federation in an international competition, mm-hmm. there is just no question that what the women have done has benefited the U.S. Soccer Federation much more than what the men have done. Mm-hmm. And also, although it's difficult to quantify this, we can grasp that it's true, in terms of the popularity of the game, in terms of how it trickles down mm-hmm. to youth soccer and everything else, the women are much more of a driving force in soccer's popularity in the United States at this point than the men are.
Hmm. Bob Costas joining us on Overnight America. And I had to go back and look at some of these points a little bit closer. And a lot of the points that were made about travel, which you don't see a lot brought up about the women flying commercial and the men going on chartered planes and some of the differences on how they're treated as a team, until you went back to when the lawsuit was filed before the World Cup. A lot of the articles that are written now focus on the wages in general. So they skip over some of those points. And I think that is nonsense. If you're being represented, if you're representing Team USA, you should be treated equally. You should have the same facilities and travel and all of the luxuries that would be given to you while you're representing the United States. To me, that's nonsense if they're treated differently that way. But I looked at the earnings, and when I start to read these articles, and maybe I'm getting the wrong impression, I feel like the opportunity to earn may be capped because they're a salaried position. And that's where some of the discrepancies are going, because it sounds like the women's national team are playing a lot more games, which accounts for more revenue. They're playing more games than the men, but they're working on the bonuses. So when they try to like weigh things out towards the end, it's not an equal representation because they're not playing the same amount.
Well, I think that's simply an accounting situation. Mm-hmm. The principle that we're talking about here, I really think, is beyond dispute. The principle is that in the United States, the women should be compensated, no matter what formula they use to arrive at fair compensation, the women should be compensated at the same level as the men. I would not make the same argument if we were in Brazil or Italy or Spain, where women's soccer, they would call it football there, doesn't remotely approach the popularity or the revenue-producing potential of the men's game. And that's where you get the perfectly valid, as far as it goes until you look deeper, idea that the men's World Cup generates billions and the women's World Cup generates tens of millions. And so, obviously, you can't expect, if you're talking about a bonus pool, you can't expect women of any nation to receive the same raw amount as men would receive because the pool is larger. And when you're talking about bonuses, I guess the rough analogy there would be the Cardinals go to the World Series. They win the World Series. And then you divide up World Series shares. Well, whoever's the highest paid Cardinal by virtue of yearly salary gets the same World Series share as the last guy on the bench as long as he was voted a full share. So you're talking about bonus money there, whereas what the women's lawsuit is based on is the general notion that overall their compensation should be the same as the men. And in the United States, there's absolutely no disputing that the women's soccer team is more accomplished and much more popular.
Yeah. I wonder if when they sit down for their next, you know, union bargaining agreements, if they're going to try to structure it more like the men's, considering that if the bonus structure is there as opposed to a base salary, that may actually mean they could earn a lot more. You've seen some of these comparisons drawn in the articles to show hypotheticals, what would happen, you know, if they played the same amount of games and if the other one had the different pay structures, the women would be paid more. In that case, they would actually be able to represent their accomplishments on a federal scale or you know, on a national scale. And it makes me wonder, too, we're not really talking about the prize payouts that you see in these big tournaments like the World Cup, but there's almost no way to equally pay the two based on how FIFA pays out for the World Cup for the men's and women's.
Exactly.
That would be impossible because just the you talked about the numbers, but the way that the finances are generated there, there's no way. Because even if you were to look at the other teams that are competing in the women's side of the World Cup, it would be nearly impossible. You'd have to basically quadruple how much money the Women's World Cup made in order to scale the same amount of prize outs, and then basically all of the revenue generated would be the prize outs. So that's not what we're talking about here.
Yeah, you've expressed it very well, and I think what we should just agree on here, if we can, is the principle. Lawyers and economists will have to sit down and figure out exactly how this distribution should take place, but the principle is simple. The women's team, much more popular, much more accomplished, is asking for equal compensation and equal working conditions as the men. In 2019, that doesn't seem like a radical idea.
The working conditions is the big thing, and I wasn't really aware of some of the working conditions that were on a different scale. Maybe when they go to the negotiations, because if they're playing more in order to make up for their salaries, if they can find a way to compress their schedule so they can get those higher bonuses and less games, because a lot of times the overhead of playing more games, not drawing as many people in some of those games because you have all the workers and everything else associated with the travel, if they can find a way to scale it down, make it bigger of an event, that would, I think, be a win for everyone. And then if they could get the bonus scales the same, then they would have the same opportunities. And I think that would solve a lot of what's going on.
Yeah, all that makes sense. But whatever the mechanisms are, that's for lawyers and negotiators to roll up their sleeves and figure out. But the principle, I'm pretty sure I'm right on the principle. And as an aside, I would just say this. In this atmosphere, I think a lot of times people's feelings about a situation are influenced by their political notions. Now, many people applaud Megan Rapinoe and the U.S. women's soccer team for their actual and implied political stances. On the other hand, there are people who resent it. And maybe some who resent it then are less inclined to look at their demand for equal working conditions and equal compensation dispassionately. They're kind of annoyed by them to begin with, so they don't consider this issue on its merits. They think there may be some sort of reflexive political correctness attached to it. They think it falls in line with some sort of radical feminism. And I don't think any of those things should apply to this particular question. tease out the merits of the argument and leave the other stuff aside.
Yeah, it made me wonder because some of the actions did sour me. I wasn't a fan of kneeling for the national anthem, representing Team USA. And some of those things and those moments sour me in general, but I understand that is separate from what's going on in this lawsuit that was filed before the World Cup. And even at the same time, some of these political discussions, I always wonder if it's used to drum up a little publicity and in order to get more people to talk about it, if it was a calculated thing, because if they go to the bargaining table and a lot of people are behind them, this was the mechanism to get people behind them. I wonder if there's any of that going on. But either way, I understand the merits of what's going on here. I do totally understand that.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, I think people should be able to make distinctions. Generally speaking, I'm just speaking for myself now. Generally speaking, I think that this team and its stars are generally admirable. Mm-hmm. What they've accomplished as athletes is admirable. Their spirit overall is admirable. The way they've inspired young soccer players, perhaps primarily female, but not exclusively female, that's admirable. I think many of their intentions are good. But at the same time, when Megan Rapinoe drops an F-bomb yesterday at City Hall in New York, that's obnoxious. That isn't just, hey, I'm being myself and no one's going to stop me from being myself and this is who I am and take it or leave it. It's just obnoxious. And you can admire Megan Rapinoe and still object to that. And you could also make this distinction. If somebody wants to protest, and it's going to rub people the wrong way no matter where it takes place, at least some people. But there ought to be a distinction when it comes to the anthem between some sporting situations and when you are specifically representing the United States of America.
You know,
I think standing for the national anthem, which, by the way, Megan Rapinoe did. She's knelt in other situations, but at the World Cup she did stand, but she didn't put her hand over her heart. I think if she had done that while representing the United States, it would not have been a case of her backing off her position or her principles on some of the issues she was protesting. She'd just be recognizing a different context for those few weeks during the World Cup.
You know, when politics get into it in any fashion, it seems like the argument always gets hijacked. So the articles are written in a certain context. There could be some sort of, you know, bias from the person writing the article. So some things could be left out. Some things may be added in that aren't, you know, they may be a little editorialized. And that's why it's always so hard to judge some of these situations because you get so many different voices and some of them not always willing to give a fair shake at something like this, which is a lawsuit. So, Bob Costas, I have to apologize for misrepresenting you in your comments that I heard the other day. Hopefully I didn't offend you too much.
Well, you know what happened? CNN called and asked me to be on. And so I said, sure, because I'm friendly with many people at CNN. And as they brought me on, I'm watching the ceremony at City Hall and the ticker tape parade they had for the women's soccer players. And I realized they're getting very close to the moment everybody wants to see. And I only have a couple of minutes here. I don't want to step on the big moment. So I'm trying to get my answer to their quick question in as quickly as possible. So it wasn't anything like the fulsome conversation we're having here. But I just said in a general way that given their success and given the fact that it is a U.S. Soccer Federation thing and the World Cup is different from a professional league, et cetera, given that, I think their request for equal pay is valid. If I'd had time to go into more nuance, as we have here, I would have, but I didn't in that situation. And then somebody apparently lifted that out, and it came to your attention, and you based your argument on that.
Yeah. There's a few things I was going to mention. I'm holding you late, so I apologize
for
that.
I don't care. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Up this late?
You're up this late.
Yeah.
There's two things. One, I'm probably going to...
By the way, if it was early morning, then I'd be annoyed. Okay? my day ideally starts at noon and ends sometime after midnight.
Well, I'm going to brag to my friends, probably at least for the next month, that you gave me a call. Just that you know that I exist is a pretty big deal. So I've been telling everyone I know about it. But the other thing is, every time I go to the Transportation Museum, I always point you out to my son because they still use your voice. I don't know if you know that.
I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I was in the Transportation Museum, But it's a cool place.
It's a great place. There's so many great places here in St. Louis. I love having conversations like this, and I really appreciate you spending some time here and wanting to talk about this a little bit more detail than a sound clip. I think a lot of people will be able to take something out of this, and maybe they'll get a little deeper understanding of what's going on, so it's not all about politics anymore.
Yeah. Hey, Ryan, it's your show. Do you have two more minutes?
Absolutely.
If the answer is no, I'll talk to you some other time.
Do it. Let's do it.
Okay. It's just an example of what we're talking about. And I hope that no one perceives even a thimble's worth of bitterness here. I fully understand that on the worst day of my broadcasting life, I've been more fortunate than 99.9% of the people who do what I do. And I'm very appreciative of all the favorable things that have happened to me and have been said about me over the years. But in recent years, and I don't think it's unique to me at all, in recent years, the dynamic that we've talked about at the beginning of this conversation, the way almost anything can get misrepresented in a clickbait world, in a short attention span world, it's just a reality. And it makes people who ordinarily wouldn't be shy about expressing an opinion, as long as they had time to express it with some nuance, it makes you a little bit reluctant, because it's almost like you're walking through a house of mirrors. You turn left, and you look ridiculously thin. You turn right, and you look ridiculously fat. And all you know is that neither one is an accurate reflection of you, or in this case, an accurate reflection of what you said. And here's an example that comes from St. Louis. And I hope I don't have to stipulate my affection and appreciation for St. Louis. When the Rams were about to play the Patriots in this past year's Super Bowl, there was some angst in St. Louis about that, because obviously we just recently lost the Rams, and they screwed us in the process. They weren't honest.
Mm-hmm.
They could have gone and been more honest and upfront about it, and it would have been easier to take in that case.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to the Super Bowl, and they're playing the Patriots, which brought back memories of the second of the two Super Bowls that the St. Louis Rams played in. And Bernie Miklas asked me on the air, what would you say to people who are having a tough time with this? And I began my answer by saying, I would say, get over it. But then in the next several breaths, I said, here's the reason why. Even though the early days of the Rams were very exciting, they went to two Super Bowls, they were spectacularly entertaining, Dick Vermeil and Kurt Warner and others were likable guys, so the town embraced the Rams. They got on an early roll. But from the very start, this was really more of a fling than something that was a lasting romance. There was almost the football equivalent of a prenup. The seat licenses, the clauses in the contract that made it obvious that if they ever wanted to go or hold the city for ransom to stop them from going, they had the ability to do that. This isn't the Cardinals. It isn't the Blues, and it never was. So that's why I was saying to St. Louis fans, you know, you really need to get over this. And then there's just the high-handedness of the NFL in general, and then there's the questions about whether the game is safe to play and people having misgivings about that. Better not to pine away for it. Mm-hmm. Better to let it go. That was the full context of what I said.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, one station had a poll. Bob Costas says, get over it. Agree or disagree? Everything has to be primary colors. Up, down, yes, no, good, bad, high, low. Randy Carricker, who's a friend of mine, KMOX alum, now on a different station, good guy. But he was so emotionally involved in this. He had season tickets from the start, took his kids to the games, used to wear Rams regalia at the games. So he'd lost all objectivity. And he wrote an open letter directed to me. And it was all about, no, I won't get over it. No matter what you say, I won't get over it. But I wasn't wagging a finger in anyone's face saying, get over it, or you're a dummy for caring. That was the preface, was get over it. But here's the reasons why. You know, so that kind of thing bothered me. If it had happened in Tulsa, what the heck, who cares? Mm-hmm. But in St. Louis, you know, and I don't think anybody did it out of malice.
Mm-mm.
It's just the way the world works now, Ryan, mm-hmm. where everything goes into some kind of distortion machine, or at least many things do. And so you say A, and it isn't that A comes out B. A comes out Q or X or Y.
Mm-hmm.
And you sometimes say to yourself, why bother?
Yeah, the emotional connection that people have to their teams, that's one of the things that's a beautiful thing about sports, and it can also be a dangerous thing. Just like anything else in life, if something's happened to you, it's a lot better to get that off your mind so you're not thinking about it, stewing it all the time. And just like that in sports, it could be the very same thing. So I understand the point that you're making. Bob Costas, wow, I had a great time talking to you tonight. I'm so glad we had a chance to hook up here. We should do this again sometime.
And I'm not even asking for equal compensation. You cash your check, I'm getting nothing for this.
Thank you for staying up late, joining us here, and I really do appreciate it. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks a lot, Ryan. Take care.
That is Bob Costas joining us on Overnight America. What a great conversation. If you heard that conversation and now you're thinking differently about the women's soccer conversation, give us a call, 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. On KMOX. Wow, how long did we go with Bob Costas? About 20, 25 minutes, somewhere in there? Wow. I thought it was a great conversation, and it's another exercise into understanding the dangers of taking something out of context. And this is a pretty complex issue. You know, some of the things that I understood about this have changed. A lot of what I understood about it is the same, but when you apply it in a different way, it kind of adds and sheds a different light to it. So I'm wondering if that's the same for you. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Let's go to Scott in Crystal City. Hey, Scott.
Hey, that was a wonderful conversation, Mr. Ecker. That is great to hear Bob Costas call you back and give his opinion of it.
I was floating the whole time. You should have seen me in the studio.
That was a wonderful thing. That was very, very interesting to hear. I agree with you last night on what you had to say.
Mm-hmm.
I totally do. And Bob Costas put a new perspective on what he was trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
So you just balance it out.
Yeah.
The political part of it is what gets most people upset, I believe, is that, you know, there was the kneeling, there was the, you know, talking about the president not visiting the White House and whatnot. One thing that people forget about this, besides the political part, is the moolah, the money.
Mm-hmm.
And the money, I lived in Las Vegas after I got out of the Navy for a while, and there's not a lot of money spent on women's sports. However, there is not a lot of offers for spending money on women's sports. But the thing is that you can go into college now. Now, college athletes make a lot of money in football, a lot of money. Do they get paid? If college football players get paid for what they do and how much money they rake in to the to bettors and casinos and whatnot.
Okay.
What about hockey players?
Oh.
What about baseball players in college?
Yeah, well,
that's the thing.
Yeah, the interesting thing.
It's a nonstop thing. You'll always have lawsuits. You'll always have equal pay. What about a great mathematician?
Well, I think the argument, and part of which I didn't really know about until I looked back at some of the original articles months and months and months ago before the World Cup even started,
mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that the travel accommodations, the lodging accommodations, the way that they're treated through their facilities, trainers,
sure,
things like that, were not on equal footing, which to me, I think that's common sense. If you're going to have a Team USA, you need to be able to treat them equally when it comes to things like that.
Of course, I agree with you 100% on that.
And the thing 100%. Was, that's totally glossed over in most of the articles now because it focuses strictly on the pay. And then they take some of these numbers and they try to, you know, fudge the numbers a little bit weird in their spreadsheets to try to, you know, make their point, which I think is a little bit hard to maneuver past that, which I had a hard mm-hmm. time too, because a lot of the articles you read, they put it out in a way that you don't realize that they're messing with some of the hypotheticals in order to make it work. All right.
And I remember there was an article with Bob Costas about a year ago. Maybe it was a couple of years ago, when right before the Rams left.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that he was, because he's national.
Yeah.
He's national. He's got to be bipartisan, you know, for everything. And he goes, look, he said, and I remember reading this, he goes, my favorite teams are the Rams, the Blues, and the Cardinals, okay? There you go. But I have to be who I am. You know, yeah. I have to, it's just like Tim McCarver, you know, working for the Cardinals now, but he had to be who he was. And it would be like Dan McLaughlin going off onto another network, yeah. And he would have to be bipartisan. He couldn't do that.
I get it. Yeah.
And keep his job.
All right.
And
hey.
It's like you know, when you made the bet with your producer there about the Blues and the Red Wings there,
pay off. My Red Wings lose. Well, I was happy to pay that one off. Scott, thank you so much. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, too.
Yeah,
thanks.
And part of the Bob Costas thing, I'm going to mention Joe Buck, another great KMOX name. His Twitter profile says, I love all teams except yours. I love that he embraces that because everyone automatically assumes he hates your team. All right, we're going to take some more of your calls. Don't go anywhere. 436-7900, 800-925-1120 on Overnight America KMOX. Honestly, I'm still floating in here. I really enjoyed that. Whenever Bob Costas comes to studio here at KMOX, if he sits down with Charlie Brennan, you know what happens? This is what happens. He sits down, he'll do his interview, and by the time he opens up the studio door, there's a lineup of people wanting to take a picture with him. When word spreads around the office here that Bob Costas is in the building, I think that's neat. And I've played some of the classic KMOX clips, and what really impresses me, it's just the random drop-ins from Bob over the years. There was one I was listening to from 90 or 91. There was a hookup late at night. It was like midnight to 1 a.m. with Japan. And KMOX sent some journalists to Japan. And they had their journalists on their side ask questions about St. Louis. We asked questions about Japan. It was a really cool experience. And towards the end of the hour, out of nowhere, while Bob Hardy was conducting the interview here, in comes Bob Costas. And he says, what, did you see the light was on? You decided to come on in? You know, it was like a random Tuesday night at midnight. He popped in the studio. That always impressed me. Rich is calling in from South Bend, Indiana. Hey, Rich.
Hey, I agree with Bob Costas. St. Louis, get over it. The Rams started in St. Louis. They left you. They went to Cleveland. After World War II, they went to L.A. They left L.A. They came to St. Louis on a quick visit, and they're back in L.A. I mean, get over it.
Wait, hold on. I mean, so of that whole interview, that's what you got out of it?
Well, another thing about equal pay, mm-hmm. women's soccer team versus the men's soccer team, there's one way to cut through all of that. Who has more gold, the men or the women?
Well, you're talking about the accomplishments. I don't think anyone can argue that the women's team has accomplished more in their sport. Not even close.
And another thing. Your last call that brought up paying athletes. There is no rule in the NCAA that says athletes cannot get paid. The rule says athletes cannot get something that the student body doesn't get.
Right. So it'd be impossible.
So that's why it's perfectly legal for West Point, Annapolis, and the Air Force Academy to play their players.
Yeah.
Why? The entire student body gets a paycheck every month.
Yeah, I think it would be a huge mistake to start that because there's no way smaller schools would ever be able to compete with the big schools. It would just completely upend the whole system. And there's a lot of other things that the students do receive as student athletes, I mean, that the other students do not have access to. But, you know, Rich, we got to get going. I'm glad you called in and good to hear from you two nights in a row.
Yeah, hey, I'll go when you're off. Go on your...
Rich, I'm sorry. Hold on a second. I'll talk to you off air. It's Overnight America.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you.
Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.